You're listening to We Are Victory, the weekly sermon podcast from Victory Christian Church in Franklin, Indiana. Every week, we post a new episode with the entirety of our Sunday message. You can find the message notes for this sermon on the free Victory app on iPhone and Android, or on our website, victorycc.life. The best way to connect with us is watching our services live on Sundays. We stream to YouTube, Facebook, and our website and app every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, as well as 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Our live streams include the entire worship service and sermon, and they're a great opportunity to interact with other people who call Victory their home. Well, with that, let's get into this week's message.
Most of the issues that we have to go to a counselor for, most of the volatile topics in society and the world today center around identity. Who we claim to be, what we identify as, who we think we are, what we think we deserve. See, many of us have been lied to about our identity. Some of us are living out of a mistaken identity. And in many cases, some of us have been willing to trade our identity for what we thought would be a better identity. While others have still have allowed someone or something to steal from us our God-given identity. We just didn't know it. So here's some things to think about. When you introduce yourself, what do you start with? What do people call you? What are you good at? What do you identify as? What do you want people to see about you or your life? What are you hoping people will accept? What are you trying to hide? And when you wrestle with your identity, it's really like being trapped in a maze with those crazy distorting mirrors, trying to figure out who you really are. So if you're a Jesus follower, here's what you need to realize is that there's nothing more important about you than your identity in Christ. Absolutely nothing. That there's nothing more important about you than your identity in Christ. So just so you know, right out of the gate, this is not self-help. You won't hear me say deep down, I think you're a really good person. You know, sorry to offend you, right? You won't hear me say on your own strength you can pull through, or down deep you're going to find the inner gold. No, no, no. What I'm saying actually agrees with what so many of us feel, Jesus follower or not. That if the seat of our identity starts with us and what we're capable of, it is exhausting. When our identity isn't in Christ, and we are going to be worn out, confused, and honestly, many of us are ashamed. And so our goal today is to find peace in who Jesus created us to be, to find healing in who Jesus created us to be, and to refuse to accept anything less than our God-given identity. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the life of a man named Jacob. Jacob lived around 1836 BC to 1689 BC, and he was born to Isaac and Rebekah. And from the very first day he drew breath on this earth, Jacob had identity issues. From his first moments on earth, he was fighting and clawing and kicking to be someone else. Now, before we dive in, I know that some people think 1836 is like a long, long time ago. Like, is this like a fairy tale? What's going on? Well, Jacob lived in a time when things were actually happening in the world. Around 1700 BC, the last species of mammoth became extinct in Wrangler Island in Russia, right? We know that. We're also now in China is the Bronze Age in China, right? And so that was going on in this same time. So this is not like in a land far, far and away. No, this is real life. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be zipping in and out of the life of Jacob back to the future style, not necessarily in chronological order, but we're going to interact with his whole life. And you'll find the name of Jacob scattered all over the Bible, but in the New Testament, you'll normally find it in the list: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, but the story of Jacob is going to be found in the Jewish scriptures and the book of Genesis, and it's highlighted in Genesis chapter 25, starting at 19 through Genesis 50. So you could read a chapter a day, and you could be going through the life of Jacob. But before we dig in, I just need to remind you that as a Jesus follower, here's why we read the Old Testament. We read the Old Testament for inspiration and motivation, but not application of the Old Testament law. Like, their promises are not our promises, their laws are not our laws, but we read it to give us insight into who God is and what God's done and how God interacts with the people that he so desperately loves. And I chose Jacob because no one in Scripture illustrates the inner conflict that we experience more in a more exciting and engaging way than our guy Jacob. I mean, because Jacob's complicated, like you, like me, like your wife or your husband or your teenager or your mother-in-law. They're complicated, right? So when you open up the pages of Scripture, you have company. So here's the deal. If you're watching here in person or online, just turn to your neighbor right now and say, this sermon's for you. Right, this sermon's for you because you're complicated. No matter where you live, Michigan, Florida, Franklin, we all do this. It's all complicated. And in some shape or form, here's what we struggle with. We all present a fake version of ourselves to the world. Right, because we have a church version that's normally cleaned up a little bit than our work version or our school version. We have a version with our friends. We have a version with our families. Day in and day out, we present these versions of ourselves to everyone that we know. And just like Jacob, we're complicated. And in Genesis chapter 25, the first time we see Jacob, we're told how his birth came about in verse 21. It says, Isaac, right, that's his dad, prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. So the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. So just so you know, be careful what you pray for because you might get it, right? So in verse 22, it says, the babies, that's plural, like, all right, are jostled inside of her. So this is the ultimate cage match. Babies are kicking and screaming and fighting and, you know, sibling rivalry at its finest. They hated their womb mates, right? So Rebecca is there and she's got all this going on in her pregnant belly. And this is a verse that every mother has quoted at one point in her life. Why is this happening to me? Right? So many moms just found a new favorite Bible verse, right? You can quote that. It's not trust in the Lord with all your heart. No. My new favorite one is, why is this happening to me? So it's next time something crazy happens at your home, just yell out, why is this happening to me? And if they call you honest, I'm just quoting scripture, right? So she went from, God, let me have a baby, to God, why did you let me have a baby, right? So she went to inquire of the Lord, which she should, and so the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. And so here's the interesting thing. Out of Isaac's dad's life, Father Abraham, who had many sons, right? It came three modern-day world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Now, that's pretty interesting. But out of Isaac's family tree, we have the Israelites and the Edomites. And the Israelites and the Edomites are in constant conflict. In fact, they're even at war today. And so it's true all the way back then, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. So there are twin boys in a room, and the first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, right? So they named him Esau. You know what this means? When they took their baby Esau, no one said, cute baby. Like they said, get that baby away from me. And here's the crazy thing. Esau actually means hairy, not short for Harold. No. Worse than that, hairy, right? So when you think of like popular Jewish baby names, Harry's probably not one of them. But I'm guessing it's not going to be on the list. But they named him Harry because he was red and hairy and gross, right? But after this, his brother came out and his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, to which you think that's better than Harry, right? But it literally means heel grabber. You know what this means? That apparently when you name kids, it was very easy. You just say the very first thing that comes to mind. It's like Bears, Beats, Battlestar Galactica. Like that's your name. Like it's so easy to name kids. Like think about it today. Like, ooh, cryy baby, blood, you know, nurse. Like I don't know what you, that's how you would name babies today. But here's the deal. You might have this in common with Jacob. He will be called heel grabber because of something that happened before he was even conscious. And as Jacob was being born, there was a name placed over him, given to him, because of what was happening around him that stuck with him his whole life. And how crazy is it that you can be stuck with something that becomes a part of who you are before you were even able to make a choice? And when it comes to who you are, some of you right now are dealing with stuff that you had no choice in. Now, the reason his parents focused on him grabbing his brother's heels because they were acknowledging something very important about their culture. This was called the birthright. Maybe you've heard me talk about this before, but this is important. It gives the firstborn a double inheritance, and their dad was wealthy, right? So this was a really big deal. And so just because old Harry is born first, he gets double the money than Jakey Poo. Like, that's what that means. So this is a big deal. And then the second perk is something called the blessing, right? Not the old lady. The blessing, but this was actually a legal transaction where his dad, on his deathbed, would transfer the leadership and the authority of the family over to the firstborn. I mean, can you imagine how many family arguments that would solve? We're just going to go to the oldest. Yep, whatever they say goes. I mean, family reunions would be interesting, right? So important family decisions, that's how they would settle all the arguments. So being the firstborn was a really, really big deal in their culture. And from the very beginning, Jake had identity issues. From the very first day he breathed breath, he wasn't happy with who he was. He wanted to be somebody else. Specifically, he wanted to be his twin brother Esau. And from day one, Jacob literally was clawing at his brother to be first. And on top of all of those identity issues were family issues, because he and Esau, they couldn't really be more different, right? They were complete opposites in personality, in hobbies, and in interests, so much so that it actually created a divide in their family dynamics, because Esau liked to hunt, but Jacob preferred to cook. And so Esau was close with dad, and Jacob was more of a mama's boy. In other words, there was outright favoritism in your family. I mean, maybe you can identify with that. Dad's favorite was Esau because he was a man's man. He was an outdoorsman. He was rough and tough, and he liked to kill stuff and shoot stuff and skin it and provide for his family. While scripture says this about Jacob, he was content to stay at home among the tents with the other ladies, right? That, in other words, while dad was out there doing manly things, Jacob's at home with the ladies. With smooth-skinned Jacob, quiet, reserved, he just liked to cook. And dad did not appreciate that, and everyone in the family knew it. And where this account maybe intersects with your life is, regardless of what you believe, just like you, just like me, Jacob at one point in his life wished he was somebody else, because of that we can relate. We've all had a moment in our lives, and maybe we're in that moment right now, that those moments where we think, if only I had as much money as them, if only I had the body that she does, if only I had the opportunities that they did, if I was only bigger or skinnier or taller or shorter like they were, if only I was less like me and more like that person out there, then maybe, just maybe, I would be happy. And if you've ever felt that way, Jacob could raise his hand, say, me too. I know exactly how you feel. From day one, as soon as I started breathing breath, I had identity issues. I had daddy issues. And after years and years of sitting in jealousy and bitterness and insecurity and anger, just so you know, those are the feelings of a broken identity. If you feel those things are the feelings of a broken identity. It is linked to your identity. So after years of being unhappy with Isaac for his blessing, he literally covers up who he is to steal Esau's blessing. And around 1759 BC, Isaac, his dad, who's blind and dying, he's going to die any day now. And culturally speaking, this is the moment where he would be the firstborn. He would give the firstborn the blessing, transferring the leadership and the authority of the family over to Esau, right? That's going to be the moment. And so Isaac, he calls Esau. I said, I want you to go give me some food. Basically, this is probably going to be one of my last meals. So he sends his favorite, Esau, out on a hunting trip. And while he's away, Jacob and his mama take advantage of the situation. That's what we read in scripture. Now, when I first read this account, I always felt sorry for Jacob because he was just doing what his mom told him to do. I thought Jake got a bad rap because as you read it, the whole thing was her idea. But what I didn't know at the time is Jake is about 76 years old. Right, that takes being a mama's boy to a new level, right? I'm a 76-year-old mama's boy doing everything my mama told me to do because he struggled with who he was. He decided to live up to what everyone else was calling him. Grasper, liar, deceiver. And here's what's interesting. He didn't want to be a heel grabber, but that's what everyone thought he was. And if everyone said that that's who he was, that must be who he was. And so Rebekah and Jacob, they devise a plan to trick Isaac into giving his blessing over to Jacob and not Esau. And so scripture says that their plan to have him, to do this, was to have him wear a disguise. So smooth-skinned Jacob, he puts on Esau's clothes so he can smell like Esau. And then they cover his hands and his neck with goat skin so dad can pet him. I mean, can you just imagine being so hairy that you could pass for a goat? I mean, it would be bad. It just would be bad. So Jake covers his hands and his neck with goat skin, so when dad reaches out to pass on the blessing to touch hairy Esau, he feels goat-skinned Jacob. That's the account. And so Jacob is decked out with his fake identity, and he walks up to dad to steal his brother's blessing. And he says this, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. But his dad said, "Who is this?" See, right off the bat, he knew that something wasn't right. So Jacob said to his father, "Well, dad, I'm Esau, your firstborn." See, when dad asks, "Who is it? Who's there? What's your name?" Jacob gives him a stolen identity. He gives him a fake identity. He was trying to present himself as somebody different. "I'm Esau, your firstborn." I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to that in a minute. Now, to take a long story a little bit shorter, the plan of deception works. Isaac gives Jacob the blessing. Jacob lives up to his name of liar and deceiver, but not long after he received the blessing, Esau comes home from hunting. Can you just imagine coming home from a honey trip? You got the game there. You got your ammo. You're ready to go. And he gets mad. He comes charging into his dad because he had realized that he'd taken his blessing. And he says, just give me back what was rightfully mine. That liar, that snake, that deceiver, he took what was mine. Give it back to me. But it was too late. Because they remember this, what had happened between his dad and Jacob was a legal transaction. This was a contract that had already been signed. And so Esau responds probably the exact same way that you would. He was murderously angry. And he thinks this, if I kill Jacob, like I just killed that deer, and I'm a pretty good shot, not only will I get back my blessing, I'll get back my birthright. If I take out my brother, I can have it all. Scripture says it this way. He said to himself, the days mourning for my father are near. He's going to die soon. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. And so what's so interesting is that once again, mom steps into the picture and she tells Jakey Poo to run away. She protects her son again. And so Jacob pretends to be someone he's not. He swipes the blessing and it works. But now he has to sprint to keep his life. So Jacob asked his dad to bless who he pretended to be. But he could never enjoy that blessing. See, and for 21 years, Jacob is on the run. 21 years, he's looking over his shoulder. 21 years, he's hiding. 21 years of his life saying, God, really? Is this what you got from my life? And so when you read the biblical account, you will see that it was this incident that sent Jacob on a 21-year exile wrestling with his identity. He received a blessing on his life, but he was only blessed because of who he pretended to be. And those identities will lead to the same feelings that you and I deal with: shame, fear, regret, insecurity. So maybe like Jacob, you've made some decisions in your past that have caused you to run. Maybe you made some decisions in your past that have caused you to question who you are and what you're worth and what God will do to you if he finds out what you did. But Jacob could say, me too. I have 21 years of regret to prove it. And here's what I want you to see. Jacob got his blessing, but he couldn't enjoy it. Why? Because God won't bless who you pretend to be. Now, if you try to add to your identity, hide from your identity, ashamed of who Jesus calls you to be, you need to realize that God won't bless who you pretend to be. And here's the struggle. Like Jacob, in the moment when we're trying to seek approval, we don't care about what's right or we don't care about what's true. We're just trying to get acceptance. I just want you to approve and affirm everything about me and everything I'm presenting to you, right? I'm trying to manipulate my way to receive a blessing from everybody around me. But like Jacob, we don't like the real version of ourselves. And you have to realize that God won't bless who you pretend to be. So if you read the life of Jacob, because of this stolen identity, Jacob manipulated and lied and stole from everyone in his life. In fact, the Bible pictures mighty Jacob as a coward that blames other people for his problems. Scripture reveals that he would hide behind the women in his life and let them fight his battles. That Jacob struggled with his family. He struggled with his marriage. His wife struggled with infertility. He and his wife did. Jacob struggled with his business partner. He struggled with his in-laws. Like, that's not new, right? But for 21 years, he's on the run. And one night, when he's by himself, he's wrestling with God. In fact, in Genesis 32, it says this. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. We find out that man in verses 28 and 30, Jacob says, was God. And most scholars believe that it was a form of Jesus, a Christophany. So Jacob's literally wrestling with Jesus, maybe like you're wrestling with Jesus. And it says this. It says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, preachers are not known for their fantastic math skills, but if Jacob was 76 years old when he stole the blessing, then he's been on run for 21 years. You know what that means? Old Jake is 97 years old. Like, no wonder his hip went out of socket, right? What we see is the stage in Jacob's life is he's been fighting all of his life. He's been grabbing onto stuff, and finally something grabs a hold of him, and it is just amazing, right? It says, then the man said, let it go. It is morning. But Jacob replied, and I love this. If you're here today and you're wrestling with your identity, if you're here today and you're wrestling with what God calls for your life, if you're wrestling with what the world calls you or what you call yourself, if you identify as something that is different than what God says about your life, here's the reality. We should not accept anything less than who God called us to be. I want you to realize that Jacob says after 97 years of fighting, after 97 years of wishing I was somebody else, Jacob is holding on to this guy. He says, I won't let go of you unless you bless me. See, he's finally come to a place in his life where he's had enough. Today, I hope that Jacob's 97 years of wisdom come washing over you, because some of you are at that place where you've had enough. You just need something to change in your life. You're tired of running, you're tired of hiding, you're tired of faking it, and you're exhausted. But you're wrestling with who God has called you to be and who God says you are and what God believes about you. God believes in you more than you believe in you. And I think you can safely say, if you're holding on to Jesus, you found yourself in the right place. If you're holding on to God when it'd be easier to let go, when you're holding on to God, when you're hurting in your hip, saying, God, I won't let go of you unless you bless me. See, at 97 years, he's fighting for another blessing. He was sick of running. He was sick of hiding. He was sick of pretending, right? I won't let go of you, God, until you bless me. And if you've ever wrestled with your identity, now's not the time to tap out. You see, Jacob, he's holding on to heels all of his life, and now he's got the heel of God trying to get blessed. He's trying to hold on. Now he's holding on to the only one who really has the power to change in here. And no matter what happens to him next, he says, I'm not letting go. He's saying, God, here's what I want to do for you. I want you to do. God, I need you to change me, bless me, or kill me, but I'm not letting go of you. Maybe that's what somebody in this room right now needs to say. God, I need you to change me, bless me, or kill me, but I'm not letting go of you. I'm going to hold on to you until you change something, not out there. I need you to change something in here. I'm tired of fighting with who I think I am. I'm tired of dealing with what I think is maybe best for me. I need to change me in here. And then it gets weird. Because look at what it says next. The man asked him, what's your name? Like, it's a fine time to get acquainted. You already broke my hip. We've been wrestling all night. Now you want to know my name? I'm like, why is that in there? Why is that in there? That's because we've seen this question before. Remember, Jacob went to Isaac, and Isaac said, who is it? Remember that whole thing? And Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. 21 years later, I've been living a lie. That's why some of you guys are watching online. You think if I come into place, it's easier to live a lie at home, but I can't come in there. The church would cave in. Well, here's so you know, it's come as you are. It's come as you are, but we have hope because you don't have to stay as you are. But we're coming to Jesus to have him say, change, feel, and heal, and fix everything in our lives. And some of you today are wrestling, and you've been wrestling with God, but you haven't been honest with God. You've been wrestling with God, but you've been trying to be somebody else. You've been wrestling with God, but you haven't been transparent. After 21 years of regret, maybe you know what that feels like. 21 years of regret. Jacob the deceiver, Jacob the backstabber, Jacob the heel grabber says, I am Jacob. After 21 years of running from his identity, Jacob admits who he is. And I want you to check out the next verse. It says this, and the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Don't miss this. Once he admits his real name, God gave him a new one. See, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled. You thought it was in your success. No. It's in your struggle. Sometimes wrestling with God will show you who you really are. It's because you struggle with God and humans, and you've overcome. And this is so amazing, is that we learn the character of God in this passage. See, when Jacob holds on to God, and when Jacob comes clean to God, God responds not by calling him what he did. He renames him. See, his whole life he'd been called what? Heel grabber. That's what he did. But God gave him a new name. And just so you know, if you follow Jesus, when God looks at you, he doesn't call you what you did. He calls you what Jesus did. He says, because of Jesus, I can give you a new name. I can call you righteous. I can call you holy. I can call you pure. I can call you love. I can give you a new name. See, when you read what took place in Jacob's life, not only did his name change, he gave him a new identity, because Jacob means heel grabber, right? Or liar, deceiver. Israel means triumphant with God. This is a Jesus follower. Jesus made a way for us to have a new life. But in fact, in Romans, where Paul, who was Saul, was given a new life, he gives us a word picture that takes place at baptism. He says this. He says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new what? New life. That when we're baptized, our old life is dead. Our old life is gone. The names you've gone by are over, right? The things you've allowed to define you are dead. You've given up that old life and you've got a new life. So as we're kicking off this series, you need to know God's intentions towards you. He does not look to punish you. He's not looking to pay you back. No, this is what God wants to do. He wants to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. That's what your heavenly Father wants to do. He wants to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. That's how much he loves you. God wants you to refuse to accept anything less than your God-given identity. And there's his promises are all over the Bible. In fact, we have this in your app and in your notes, who we are in Christ. All of these are promises about what God says about you. And I'd love for you to check out all of those promises this week. It goes on and on and on and on. And we have a God that has given us this new identity. And I promise you that if you choose to believe what God says about you, it will change you to your core. And Paul says that moment of baptism, there's something more that happens than just getting wet. No, God says, no, I want to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. Even the symbol of a baptism shows that you died to your old self, but you were raised to a new God-given identity. You have a new inheritance, so you can proudly say, it doesn't matter what I did, it doesn't matter what I struggle with, whatever Jesus says I am, that's what I am. See, God wants to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. You've been given a new identity. You've been given a better identity. Where you stand with God, get this, has nothing to do with you. But because of Jesus, you are restored. Because of Jesus, you are holy. Because of Jesus, you can be called blameless and chosen and forgiven and sanctified and loved. That you are his masterpiece, that you're his child, that you're a new creation in Christ, that you've been adopted into God's family. You've been given a new identity. But you need to know this. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to struggle. You know what's crazy? Is that night after God renames Jacob, I mean, if you keep reading, you would expect from that point forward, God would always call him by his new name, Israel. Here's my guy, Israel. But if you keep reading the Bible, you'll find that he's called both names, Jacob and Israel. It's all over the Bible, Jacob sometimes, Israel sometimes. And I looked at that, I wondered, God, why would you give him a new name if he wasn't going to use it? But then I realized it's because change is complicated, right? You know that. Change in your own life is complicated. Just because I have a new name doesn't mean I'm not going to struggle with my old life. Just because I know God doesn't mean I'm going to get it right every single day. And what's so amazing, if you were to fast forward all the way forward about 255 years later, Moses in the burning bush, right? In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is at the burning bush. And Moses asked God the same thing that Jacob asked. God, what is your name? And God says this. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of, and here's when you think he's going to say it, Israel. Right? Because Jacob's the God of the good side, or Jacob's the bad guy. He's going to say the God of Israel. But when God introduces himself, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, if you're God, why wouldn't you want yourself to be known as just the God of Israel? Why wouldn't you just want to be known as the God of the good side? The God of the guy who changed his ways? No, God says, I'm not just the God of the good side. I'm also the God of Jacob. I'm the God of the part of you that you don't want anybody else to see. I'm the God of a part of you in your success, but I'm also the God in your struggle. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of you of your victories, but I'm also the God when you get defeated. I'm your God too. I'm the God of Jacob. If you find yourself wrestling with God, you need to know that Jesus is full of mercy and he's full of grace. And you need to know that Jesus is the God of the backslider, the God of the hopeless, the God of the skeptic, the God in the lonely places, the God. And when we have those desert seasons, he's your God in those moments too. See, in your very real struggle to claim your God-given an identity, you need to know that God's not ashamed of you and God's not looking to punish you. No, he wants to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. But you also need to know this. He can't bless who you pretend to be. He can't bless who you pretend to be. So if you're on the edges of faith, you need to realize that Jesus, he's not waiting for you to be perfect to get baptized. No, he paid the price to already make you right with God. In the New Testament, baptism was the first step. I have a feeling that someone maybe watching online feels the Holy Spirit of God moving in them. If that's you, text baptism right now to 317-576-2288. We'll get you baptized this week. Or maybe you're here right now and you sense God's prompting in your life. Hey, you need to get baptized. Today's to get baptized. You need a new life. If that's you, we have you people ready for you in the next steps room. Or maybe you're here And you're like 80% of us. There's 80% of us, we're Jesus followers, where we've accepted Jesus, right? But maybe we've also accepted less than our God-given identity. Every day this week, here's the challenge. Use the chart in your notes, right? Look, recount the promises that you have in Christ. Christ realize that God wants to rename you, restore you, and redeem you. Because if you've been immersed into Christ, you can say, no matter what I'm dealing with, I am forgiven, and I am restored, and I am washed, and I'm adopted, and I'm born again, and I'm more than a conqueror, that I'm chosen, I'm blameless, and I'm made complete, and that I am loved. Come on. Right? That's who you are in Christ, no matter what it feels like. And so maybe if you have those two places, or maybe right now you're wrestling with God. You're wrestling with this identity. You're wrestling with this whole thought about maybe giving your life over to God. I'm telling you, if God's got a hold on you, don't let go of Him unless He blesses you. Hold on to Him until He blesses you. May the blessing of God and the truth of God and the image of God guide and direct your life. Would you pray with me? Father, just thank You that we have a new blessing. And Father, those feelings that we have of insecurity and fear, they're right. We're not right. But through Jesus, we are made right. So Father, I thank You that we can live differently and walk differently and act differently because of Jesus. Help us to live differently in this moment, and help us to realize Your intentions towards us, to rename us, to restore us, to redeem us. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast. If this message has been encouraging or helpful to you in any way, we would love to know. Drop us a review on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. It really helps us out. But of course, the best way to spread the word about what Victory is doing is through a personal recommendation. If you know a friend who would like us, give us a share. This podcast airs a few days after the live recording, so if you'd like to experience our full worship service live, you can do that on our website or on our app. Every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, as well as 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We also offer a ton of awesome stuff for kids and students, so be sure to check that out on our website for all those details. If you'd like to partner with us in our mission of connecting people back to God, you can support us financially at victorycc.life/give, or by clicking the Give button in our free Victory app. Well, that'll about do it for this week's episode. Until next time, remember, we don't go to church. We are the church everywhere we go.